like that. Holy, holy. I sung that as a kid. And I think my grandparents sung it, and their grandparents probably sung it as well. Been around forever. And I don't know about you, but I can't help but my emotions coming to the fore when I see how great thou art, sung outside the garden tomb. Whew. And I don't know about you last night, but I heard the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Isn't it amazing we serve a great God? Children, you have a great time out there, and go and learn about this amazing God who has revealed himself to us and shown himself and just been so wonderful in all that he is to each and every one of us. Praise God. Whew, man, I've got to compose myself. Bow before thee. Bless his name. You know, we're going to look at a message that I penned a couple of weeks back, but you know, God's amazing the way he changes things, and it's not something that he released us to share back then, but over the last couple of weeks it's been very different. Last week we were an electrical gremlin, but we had an awesome time in the presence of God. It was so good. It was just so good. But I'd like us to look at a few things in the scripture, and I've got all the scriptures out, and if you want to just take notes and check it all out at some stage. But I've called this Two Trees, and we should have the notes up there coming, but coming out of Genesis chapter 3, where God planted a garden, and then there were two trees in the garden, and he gave command, and he said, the tree of life that's over there, go for it. You can partake of that. That's free for you to live from. And they did. But he said, there's another tree here called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't touch it. That's an interesting thing that God gave them that option. But we got to recognize and realize that God wanted man to serve him by choice. And he gave him a capacity to choose. We're the only creature made in all of God's creation that have the freedom to choose to follow him or not to. No other creature has that choice. Isn't that incredible? None of his creation except us. And we're made in the image of God in the sense that we have the capacity to choose. We also have a creative capacity in the way that we can speak life into situations. He's given us an expression of speech that other creatures do not have. And that expression of speech, God demonstrated at creation when he said, light be, or order be, and order was, and light was. And so it was an amazing expression of God's voice being spoken out. And if we speak out God's voice, especially in our own lives and situations, we create. And if we speak negativity, and if we speak doom and gloom, and if we speak things that are wrong and down and out, we create those situations too. We can bring about. You know, I'm such a knucklehead. I'm such a nuff-nuff. I'm always doing things wrong. Well, change that. I made a mistake. In Jesus' name, I'm better than that. In Jesus' name, I turn from that. I repent. I'm going to stand forward. I'm not going to allow that to dominate my life. I'm not going to allow those mistakes to hold me back. I'm going to do and be everything God has called me to do and be. What a difference. What a difference. The creative power of those words is what God wanted for mankind. But he gave us a choice. And so God's heart was that men and women would follow his ways by that freedom of choice and never by coercion, never by dictatorship, never by rules, never by regulations, never by ritual, and never by ceremony. That was never his intention. And regardless of the fact that some of that happened during the children of Israel's service of God in the tabernacle and temples, etc., in the way God orchestrated that, it was never his plan, because that was added because of their transgressions. Man, if man had never sinned, we'd have never needed all of that nonsense and bells and smells and rituals and whatever went on in that time. It would have been so different. And God's reasons for having a people who were his by choice were that they could worship him in spirit and in truth. And there were other spiritual reasons, which I'll not go into now, but it all had to do with man being an overcomer of the powers of darkness and bringing that reign of the devil's influence to an end, both in heaven and in earth. Incredible. That was part and parcel of man being able to have dominion. And had man taken that dominion, the devil could not have survived. But he gave and surrendered that. And unfortunately, we've had these consequences of that ever since. And so, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was a tragedy, because it took man from serving God by choice to self-assessing what he thought was right and wrong for himself. Whoa, how crazy is that? Now, we still have the influence of both of those trees in the world today. We can live by the tree of life, which Jesus reinstigated, and I'll go into that shortly, or we, as people in this world, are under the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they know which way they want to go by their choices. They can choose to do one or the other. They're not under the influence of the Holy Spirit. They're not under the tree of life. They're simply, this is good for me, I'll do it, or this is what's right and this is what's wrong. And they make up their own mind. They choose what is okay and what's not okay. And this is where, unfortunately, people who live by their own natural instincts and desires and passions gravitate to what's right for themselves, or so they think. They take their choice from that influence of that tree. Eve, when she was tempted, saw the fruit of that tree, and she saw that it was good. Wonder what made it look good. Whether it was a literal fruit or whether it was because of the ongoing influence that that partaking was going to have on her life, whatever she saw that it was good, and she's going, look what I've got, have some. She gave of what she saw and thought would look good. Be careful. Not everything that looks good is. We all know that, don't we? We've all experienced something in life that we thought was good and it's been a disaster. And so that natural capacity to say, oh, this is good or this isn't good, is not good ground to walk on. It's a precarious ground. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, the Bible tells us this: we walk by faith, not by sight. If you're looking at it by sight and it looks good, run a mile. Run a mile, because I think sometimes we're going to find ourselves getting tripped up by something that we've assessed as good in our own eyes. And so the Bible tells us, don't be wise in your own eyes. Yeah, they're not good, because they'll do what Eve did. It looks really good, come on. And then you'll suck others into joining you in it. And then the whole lot falls apart. Not really good at all. And so we've got to be careful with that. We walk by faith, not by sight. In Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25, God says the same thing. When he says something once, get your catches on. When he says it twice, make sure they're big and huge and listen carefully, because he doesn't waste words. And he says this twice. There is a way that seems right to a man. Isn't that interesting? There's a way that seems right to a man. Where does it come from? Knowledge of good and evil. But the end thereof is the way of death. But its end is the way of death or destruction, depending on which translation you're looking at. And so sometimes our assessment of things really becomes critically wrong. I don't know if you've witnessed to people and talked to people in the world about Jesus. Well, if God's such a loving God, why this and why that? You know, they're looking at it in their own eyes. I'm a good person. I don't hurt anybody. Where do they get that assessment from? They assess it for themselves. It's not the way God does. Some even say things like, yeah, I go to church on Sunday. Really? Tell me, what do you learn? Because, you know, people I know that go to church have a bit of a difference in their life and it challenges them and changes them. What do you know about Jesus? Do you know how much he loves you? Have you learnt that? Oh, no, we do this and we pray and we do the other, and you know. And I find that very, very frustrating sometimes when you're talking to people that self-assess their religiousness or their Christianity or God loves me because I go to church on... No, it's irrelevant. Have you given your life to Jesus? What do I have to do that for? I was confirmed. You know, it really is a stumbling block, because it comes under what? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I'll go into that a little more with this understanding it from that perspective. You know, in Romans, man lost all sense of really what is right and wrong. God introduced the law to try and get mankind or the Israelites to understand God's ways, God's heart, but they took it wrong and they didn't live by it at all. But the interesting thing that Paul talked about in Romans 3:20, he says, by the law came the knowledge of sin. By the law came the knowledge of sin. And we've even got Christians today that say we've got to keep the law. Well, why? Why would I want to keep a law that only gives me a knowledge of sin? That's nuts. You know? It doesn't say by the law came the knowledge of God. You notice that? Did you notice Paul never said that? By the law comes the knowledge of God. So we try and live by rules and regulations and whatever have you. Where does the knowledge of God come from? Out of that? It can't. It can't, can it? It only tells you what's right and what's wrong. And that is sad, and mostly what's wrong. And so, I think from that, man still chose to be on his own throne and master of his own destiny. Pretty tragic. Pretty tragic there. I think, with, you know, rebellion is part and parcel of man's nature. Because of the Garden of Eden's events, you know, you see some people talk about what was the original sin. I'll tell you what the original sin was: independence. The temptation wasn't to eat the fruit. The temptation was, God knows that when you eat it, you'll be like him. You won't need him anymore. See the reality in that? You will know what's right and wrong. You'll be like God. And he's holding you back. He's just restraining you. You get hold of this knowledge of good and evil, you're going to be just like him, and you're not going to need him anymore. Independence. And independence has been the root cause of sin, because from independence came sin. Came disobedience, came everything else. I don't need God. Why do I need God? How many of you ever heard anyone say that? Huh? Whoa. It is a common, nonsensical expression that people use. I don't need God. What do I need God for? And I'm like, that's why you need him. You're living independent of him. I've never done anything wrong. Why would God judge me or send me to hell? Are you living independent of him or in communion with him? I've asked people that. Well, what do you mean? Are you living independent of God? Is he involved in your life in any way, shape or form? Or are you separated from him? And I said, because of your separation, you live a life of sin. Therefore, he has to judge you. And people stand up and I go, I never saw it that way. I never thought of that. And they don't. The minute you challenge their independence or their dependence on God, they immediately have to answer the question, oh, well, I don't really involve God in my life, do I? Therefore, because you're independent, you live in what God calls sin. Whether you do things you regard as sin or not is irrelevant. Independence is the cause and the root cause of separation from God, living in that realm which sin reigns. Whoa. That didn't get taught to me in my how to go out in the street and witness. But the Holy Spirit made that so real to me. And when I was sharing with someone one day, and I went, whoa, I'm talking it and I'm hearing myself. You know how God does things sometimes? And you think, where did that come from? But you let the Spirit of God speak through you. Start taking notes, because it's real. It's relevant. And it's teaching you things. This is where God has spoken to his people, and his words are words of wisdom. Take note. Take note. Whoa. I think it's awesome the way God does that. I really do. You don't even think of it, and you're like, where did that come from? But you know it's real, and you know it's the Spirit of God, and you know it's right. And I love taking notes of things that God says and does. And even if I happen to mouth it, I'm like, whoa. And even prayer, and in prayer sometimes, an expression will just come through. And I'm like, wow, where did that come from? I hadn't used it before. I haven't said it before. I haven't expressed it before. But it is so Holy Spirit inspired. Man, I take note. Take note. That's so true. So we get away from our rebellion and our rebellion to authority, which is man's nature, and keep ourselves off the throne of our lives, which is the independent nature, and put God on the throne of our lives and make him Lord. And that is incredible, because God originally created authority for our own well-being. The Bible says the powers that be are ordained of God. And if you look at that in its entirety, God created governmental structures. And all of those governmental structures, etc., that we've got, from presidents, kings, queens, prime ministers, down to the police on the street and whatever have you, are there for our well-being and benefit. Not necessarily the person. Some people have said to me, oh yeah, but God put Khrushchev there, or God put Hitler there. No, he didn't. That position was taken by a man who abused it and misused it and corrupted it. And I don't want to be in their shoes when they stand on Judgment Day, because those positions of power that were ordained of God, if you misuse those, I believe you stand in greater judgment, far greater judgment. As a preacher of the gospel, I take that responsibility upon myself as well, because the responsibility God has given me to lead or to teach or preach or share or speak to people is one of intense authority in a way, because I have an influence. Man, I don't want God to say, oh, you were in a position I gave you and you blew it. No way, Jose. No way. And if some of the leaders in the churches would take that on board and reapply it to themselves, I think they'd scare themselves silly. Wow, boy, I got to get back on. I don't want God to be pointing the finger at me because I misused a power position of authority. Wow. So those are given for our benefit in Romans 13, it tells us. So individuals can abuse or honor that position, but boy, they got to answer to our Father in heaven. So we have a choice in what we submit to and accept as right or wrong. And so in today's standards, or the lack of standards, we still have a choice. The trouble is with today's standards, with what we accept or condone, and people are being manipulated, people are being twisted in their thinking, people are being perverted in their thought life, and now people condone almost anything. And what you condone or accept, you do nothing about. Yeah, that's true. What you condone or accept, you do nothing about. And I've been challenged several times on things that I do not condone or accept, and people go, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with that? What did it? And I'm going, it doesn't line up with the Word of God. Ah, but that's old-fashioned. Says who? I don't accept that, and I will not condone that. It's more relevant than anything else I've ever seen or read. Don't tell me to listen to the news. The cares of this world choke the word, Jesus said in the parable of the sower. The thorns and the thistles where the seed fell in amongst it were described by the Lord Jesus as the cares of this world that choke the word out of your life. When I heard a preacher preach that once, I was addicted to coming home and listening to the 6 o'clock news. From that day on, I couldn't give a rip about what's on the 6 o'clock news because I don't want the word of God choked in my life. You know, I hear things here and there, and I hear snippets of stuff and something. I think, oh, maybe I should take note what's going on here. But I'm not sitting there listening to the lies that this world's perpetrating. I'm listening to what the voice of God says. Wow. And then when I do hear the words of what this world is saying, I take it to God and say, what do I do with this? That's important. I've got to live under the tree of life. It's back in Genesis chapter 3, 22 and 24. It's interesting that when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it says God kept the way of the tree of life. He said, lest man take of it and live forever. That would be an absolute shame. It would be critically bad for this planet if man in his sin and fallen independent state could still access the tree of life and live forever. So God kept the way. Notice he didn't say kept them from, although he did as well. But he said he kept the way. The way of the tree of life was hidden from the sight and the eyes of mankind, and they couldn't even see the way after that. Although the tree might have still been somewhere that they could think, oh yeah, it was over there or whatever, God kept the way of the tree of life. The way was made shut. And that's just amazing. He kept them from that because if the way to the tree of life, without the redemptive work of Calvary and the blood of the Lord Jesus being applied, it would have made the race of man unredeemable. Did you know that? We could never have survived. And our sins could never be blotted out. Because there was a physical way of staying on and living forever through a tree God put in a garden. So God had to shut that off. He had to close that off and say, well, for now, that's history. You can't have anything to do with that. And so they were blinded to it. But then came Jesus. Woohoo! John 14:6, where he says, I am the way. I am the what? The way. I am the way, the truth and the life. I think it's just incredible the way God does things. When you look at how he works and how he purposes and how he plans and how he does things for our benefit, it's entirely beyond the wisdom of mankind. That's why when God has spoken to his people and his words of wisdom, hallelujah, jump all over them. It's so incredible. And you know, the incredible thing about when Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life, prior to that, there was a cry by John the Baptist. And he said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Isn't that amazing? There was a cry that the way was being prepared and be sure you got on a straight path. Now they had no idea what John the Baptist was saying, and then Jesus comes along and says, I'm the way, the truth and the life. And he tied the two together. Really an intense but beautiful picture. And you know, over the years, and in all sorts of areas of the world, people, men, religion, whatever, they've done everything to tangle up and confuse the ways. Have you noticed that? Even in the New Age religions today, you know, they talk about, oh, you've got to find the way. You need a guru or a master or this or that or a set of tarot cards because you can't find the way without them. And they've got all these mishmash of ways that are definitely not straight, that are tangled, messed up. And you even go into churches somewhere, and I'm praying for God's church. I really am, because I have a passion for the church of God, for his kingdom. And yet when you see preachers getting up saying, oh yeah, but God understands if you've got this persuasion or that persuasion. What? My God says you've got a reprobate mind, my word, you know. And I don't follow what the world standards are. And unfortunately, a lot of those standards have crept into church circles. And the way has been mishmashed. The way's been tangled. And the prepare the way and make his paths straight have been tangled up. And that's rather interesting because men have now decided to blind the eyes of others to the way. Men is getting in the way. You know, in the beginning, God kept the way. Now we've got people who should know better keeping the way away from people. Whoa. That's serious. I don't know whether you see that the way I see it, but that would scare the daylights out of me if I read that in the scriptures and I was in a church that compromised God's word. No chance. Man, they're keeping the way of the tree of life hidden, the way of the life of Jesus hidden from people. And to me, that's shame on them. Absolutely shame on them. It keeps people blinded to the truth of God's word. That's just terrible. The old sinful nature, what we still have, we need to deal with. It will dictate to us if we let it. And it will bring death. The Bible says the day you eat of it, you will surely die. So what we've got to do is be like Paul. I put my body into subjection. I die daily. So this passion of this old flesh nature that we have to continually fight and war with needs to be put into place. The Word of God says so. In Jesus' name. Man, I love what Ray preached last week. I've gone over that so many times, but the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. When the Somalian pirates were trying to capture this boat. Was it the captain or was it someone else on the crew? Not sure. Stood and watched the pirates trying to throw their hooks up to get onto the rails so they could scale the side of the ship and capture it. And he stands there, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, not one hook found its... These guys are good at it. They practice it. They can stand there and flick that thing around and up it goes and it grabs the rail around the ship and they're up there before you know it. But this day, nothing took. Why is a guy on the deck saying, the blood of Jesus? The blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. Boy, that ship was fully protected. Whoa! We need to apply that to our lives constantly in Jesus' name so that the dictates of the old nature of death under the law of sin and death won't take hold in our lives. God hates mixture. You take that from the beginning of the Bible to the end. You can't blend light and darkness. You can't have one foot in each camp. Either light will reign or darkness will reign. And guess what usually wins if you're trying to play the game where you're straddling the fence? The darkness side. Turn the lights off, what happens? Darkness envelops everything. Simple. You keep the lights on, you can't allow darkness an iota of control. You know, darkness is not a tangible product. They're trying to dig a hole in Beaufort, believe it or not, in Victoria. Have you heard about that one? Where they've dug down in a mine and they're trying to encapsulate the darkest darkness. Just go out and sin. I'll show you where it is. Right there in the heart of man. It's not in a mine in Beaufort. It's in the heart of men and women who don't know God. It's the dumbest exploration thing I've ever heard in my life. But you go down there and I'll take a torch. Where's your darkest darkness? And it'll dissipate. Because darkness is nothing but the absence of light. And if we're going to straddle the fence, what are we doing? We're allowing the absence of light to take over. And we're going to be compromising the word of God. What are we doing? We're taking away light and allowing darkness to take over. It's what we're doing. Because it will not wait for us to give it permission. And Paul said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? And his cry was genuine and real because he was in the same fight we're in. I said, I thank God through Christ Jesus. I thank God that through Christ Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, I thank God this body of death is brought into subjection. And he says, I bring my body into subjection. Glory to God, because he can do that through the profession of his faith, through the creative words using the word of God to bring light into a dark situation. How good is that? Whew. Man, you know, once you get born again, you're born into a new life in Christ Jesus that frees us from sin. So why do we get entangled with it again? Because we're too busy wanting our independence and we're looking at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead of the tree of life. It tangles us up again. It makes the paths cloudy and not clear. They're no longer straight. It's what we have to apply and live by and put into our life as principles, not as feel-goods. A lot of people go to church so they feel good. I don't go to church to feel good. I want to hear God. I want to hear God's voice. And sometimes the voice of God is not a feel-good voice. It's a, hey, what do you think you're doing? As I've prayed many times in this place, and I still pray it in my own life, Lord, I thank you for your protection. I thank you for your direction, and I thank you for your correction. Oh, no, we don't want that last one. No, we do. We probably need that one first. But we need it. We need it. We need it. I need it. You need it. We all need it to say, God, and like Anthony shared at communion, do we have a heart of repentance? When we do know that we've failed or made a mistake, don't wait till you get to an altar call on Sunday to repent or go home and say your prayers at night. Get rid of it. The minute you're aware of it, bang. Lord, I'm so sorry. In Jesus' name, I come against that and I thank you for your forgiveness. And Lord, I apply it to my life and I appreciate the blood of Jesus cleansing me from all sin. Wow. You can do that anywhere, anytime, anyhow, at any given situation when you know you have made any form of offense against God. How simple is it? Why carry a sin for any longer than you have to? The minute the awareness of what you've done by the conviction of the Holy Spirit is there, get rid of it. In Jesus' name, the Bible says we've been made free from sin and alive to God. The Romans 8:2, we've been made free from the law of sin and death in Christ Jesus. Romans 6:11, reckon yourselves, calculate, work out, make sure you know that you are free, that you are free from the law of sin and death. Oh, it's not got a control anymore. We've come into under the new tree of life. We've come in under the way that Jesus said that he was. Make sure we calculate that and make sure it's real. In Colossians 3:3, you are dead and your life is hidden in Christ in God. Whoa. Romans 6, I tell you, I'd love to read the whole chapter, but boy, does it ever give us a complete, clear picture and understanding of the old versus the new. What we were to what we've been made, who we were, what we are now, who we are in Christ. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus, made alive, made anew, made free. And so if we were under the law of sin and death or under the tree of life, you know, when God said to Eve, the day you eat it, you'll surely die. Well, that die was a spiritual death. The day they did that and lost their dependence on God and became independent, they spiritually died. And the race of man has suffered that spiritual death ever since. Therefore, when you come to Christ, you find him and find the way, the new life in Christ Jesus gets rid of that old nature of death and puts in a new nature of life. It's amazing. And we have got to, it's so great, so simple, but there's a discipline in walking that because we say, God, I don't want to offend you. I don't want to hurt you. I want to serve you. I want to live for you. We sing amazing songs of dedication and sacrifice. Here's my life. Let it be a living sacrifice. Well, a living sacrifice gets up every day and says, I'm dying today. In Jesus' name, I'm living for God. That's all it is. A living sacrifice says, I don't want to be independent. I want to be dependent. So I'm killing that off. It's not difficult. It's not hard. It takes just a determination, a repentant and a determined lifestyle. We were dead. We've been made alive in Christ. We're now dead to the old sin nature and alive to the new God nature. We've been grafted into the vine. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Come and suck the life out of me because I'm giving it to you. Simple. So true. It's so good. That's what a vine does. It keeps the branches alive. I love that. I love that. He's the source of all who upholds all life on this planet. Hebrews 1:1-3. In Colossians 1:13, it says, he delivered us from the power and authority of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his son. It's a lifestyle based on the right tree or the wrong tree. Which one are we looking at? Which one is dictating its terms to us? Which one is making us change our ways? Which one is causing mixture to take hold in our lives instead of the life of God? Which one is causing us to straddle the fence? Which one are we fighting against when we don't need to? We don't need to. Boy, I tell you what, we've been taken and translated, brought back to the way of the tree of life, which is the kingdom of God's Son. When Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says, submit yourselves to God and resist the devil. If we're not submitted to him, it's hard to fight the devil. You ever notice that? People tried that in the book of Acts. I'm commanding you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And the demon give him a hiding. You can't fight the devil without being submitted to God. We've got to be fully submitted and get out of this mixture scenario. We now dwell and live in him. 1 John 3:18-24. In him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17:28. 1 Corinthians 15:55. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where's your victory? We've got a victorious life with a victorious death, with a victorious future. Isn't that incredible? I love what Billy Graham said when they told him that, you know, what's going to happen? He says, nothing. He says, don't grieve for me. Don't cry over me. I've just changed addresses. You know, I'm just leaving this life and going on to the next one. He says, and I remember when his wife died, someone said to Billy Graham, oh, so sorry you lost your wife. He said, I haven't lost her. I know where she is. Confidence in God. Confidence in the life we've been given in Christ Jesus. So good. We're no longer slaves to sin. John 8:34 and Romans 6 onwards. And the whole chapter. The old, no longer slaves to it. It no longer is the governing factor. We're to be fully governed by and formed by two things. Who we are in Christ Jesus and who he is in us. Man, if you get a picture of that, how on earth can anything else knock the stuffing out of you? We've got the King of Glory living for us, in us and through us. And yet we're silly enough sometimes to turn the lights off and let the darkness envelop. Boy, how dumb can we be as human beings? Guilty, been there, done that, you know. Look back, think, what a clown I was at that time. But thank God, through Christ Jesus, like Paul, I cried out, I've got to get out of this body of death. But I thank God that it's in through Christ Jesus, who is in me and who I am in him. And the minute I was given a blue sheet of paper, and I remember it was in 1974, and all it had on the top was who I am in Christ Jesus. Man, I didn't understand it fully at the time. I didn't grasp it fully at the time, but I had that in the cover of my Thompson Chain Reference Bible that I would use constantly back then. And every time I opened it, one of the scriptures of who I was in Christ, man, just ministered to me. And you know, this is why I share so much on who we are in Christ. It is relatively important, not relatively, totally important. to know what the scripture says about that. And that's the factor that governs who we are in him and he is in us. We need to know that. I had a confession and I rewrote it on a second email there, Anthony, and I've got a copy of it if anyone wants to take it with them, because it is just so important that we all understand that. I'm going to hand those out, Johnny, and then just put the balance of them up the back so people can take them if they want them. It's under quote or confession, profession, something. Come through. Why don't you stand up and say, just make this affirmation with me. And you've got it in paper as well. But today we're going to put this into our thinking, into our profession vocabulary. Ready? Today, I confidently confess that I am a child of God. My life is now secure in him. My past is forgiven and no longer has a hold on me. I am completely a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm accepted by, loved by, and fully cherished by God. I belong to him as his child. I am a part of his family of faith. I boldly confess I will never be the same. My life is now hidden in Christ, in God, given by God as his hope of glory in and through me. Now fully satisfied by the tree of life, in Jesus' name, amen. Father, I pray today that each and every one of us would take hold of the amazing work of Calvary that you've wrought, what you've done in us, how you've given us the capacity to live in the authority and the power of the name of Jesus, to live a life of repentance and reflection, to live a life of pleading the blood of Jesus in every given situation that's beyond our control. And we know, Lord God, that you are looking for an opportunity, scanning this whole world to show yourself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards you. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll keep correcting us, that our hearts would be perfect towards our Father constantly, and that our life being hidden in your hands would be governed and protected and firmly founded and grounded in the way of the tree of life. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. All good. All good. Praise God for that. Challenging word, but I'm telling you, real. It probably brought a lot of things out that we think, yeah, I knew that. Yeah, I know that. But I tell you what, if we don't reflect and go over things, we don't get a chance to reapply, recorrect, and put them into practice. And I believe the Holy Spirit in that song I sung at the beginning, God has spoken, and his words are words of wisdom. Open your ears, Christian people. Open your ears to hear his word. Open your hearts, royal priesthood. God is speaking to you. Bless you all. Have a great week. And enjoy what God has for you. But keep the ears open because he's speaking to his people. Amen. Thank you.
of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You will lead me through the fire, and in darkest night you were close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. Yeah. And all my life you have been faithful. Oh. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yeah. Your goodness is running out, it's running.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing.